Proverbs chapter number 3 and verse number 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. And all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them which lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading of this portion of Scripture. Mercy sakes, there's so much in just what we read just now. If we were to start at verse 1 and begin to work our way down phrase by phrase, Lord, we'd never be able to do it in the allotted time. So many riches, Lord, so many blessings, so much wisdom. Lord, may we learn from the book of Proverbs. Thank you for securing for us, Lord, these words. Thank you for protecting them. Thank you that we've read tonight the words of God. And Lord, I pray that you would use them to minister to our heart and to challenge us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The happy man, Solomon, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, will reveal to us 7 secrets to happiness just in this book. I want to say this. I was stirred as I read the book of Proverbs just then, just the little portion I read. First of all, my first memory when I started down through that was, thank the Lord, I got to go a couple years to a Christian school. This was one of the chapters that we memorized back when I was in high school here at Blessed Hope Baptist School about 153 years ago. But I'm thankful for their familiarity. I'm thankful that even though I put them into my heart, hid them in my heart as a young man, I may not be able to stand and do a word perfect, but boy, they feel like an old friend. And I find myself at times stop where I'm stopping to read and starting to quote. And what a blessing it is. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Thank you for all of you that worked in the Christian school when I was there. And I really feel like I probably need to apologize to you for all the things I did and should have done better. But I am thankful for the Word of God. Young people, don't take that for granted. I went to public school for all the way through 10th grade, and we never memorized a verse of the Word of God in all of those years. And boy, what a wonderful thing then to go and come, be able to be allowed to go into a Christian school and have not only as part of every single day of our life the memorization and quoting of Scripture, but to have it integrated into all of the curriculum, everything that we learn. What a valuable thing. You young people that were allowed to have that and are experiencing that from kindergarten on up, oh, you're blessed. I mean it. You're blessed. You probably know more about the Bible than you even realize you do. You've got such a head start on some of us that got a late start. And so be thankful for it. Be conscious to be thankful for the opportunity that you have. And then I was thinking this. I don't regret the amount of time I spent in the book of Proverbs. I don't regret it a bit. I decided young that I would live in this book. Not just the Bible, but in this book here, in this book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs probably is the book of the Bible. If you were to say all of the books, preacher, what's the one you've spent the most time in both study and meditation and memorization and all of that? Well, I would say Proverbs is the book, right or wrong, that's the book that I've spent the most time in. Probably after that, it would be the four Gospels, because I wanted to know my Savior and I wanted to learn of Him and follow Him and listen to Him and understand Him and know Him. And then after that, probably because of God's call into the ministry, it was First and Second Timothy and Titus. And I've tried to understand and glean and read from those pastoral epistles and so that anything that I would be taught about the ministry, I could have something to lay it aside and thank God for the knowledge of those books. I'm thankful for Bible College, thankful for all the training I've gotten, but I also thank God that I decided I'd understand those books so that things that might be taught that wouldn't line up with Scripture about the ministry, I would just casually discard, and those things that had been proven through Scripture, I would hold on to. I'll tell you what, let me just say this, not just to the young, but to the old. Every minute that you can spend in the book of Proverbs is a good investment for your life. It's a good investment for your life. This book, I don't know how activated your mind was. I understand, folks, I've been as guilty as anyone of it, of coming in before I was pastoring and from a busy day and a work day and setting down. But what we just read in these 18 verses, my goodness sakes, I'm not going to teach down through it, but I think of this, which brings us, by the way, preacher, the happy man. Doesn't everyone want to be happy? Well, I think so. I think they would. How do you become happy? Well, that's what we're going to study. Solomon says, first of all this, verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. And then he says in verse number 18, she, speaking of wisdom, is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. And so he says, find it, and then get it, and then lay hold on it, and then retain it. And he says, if you'll do that, you'll be happy. And so how does a person become happy? They become happy when they decide that they're going to spend their life pursuing wisdom. Wisdom, number one, wisdom brings happiness. Wisdom brings happiness. Now, I'm not going to reteach this. We talked about the wise man. We did a quick study, not a thorough study, but a quick study of wisdom and the wise man in the book of Proverbs and what is said about him. But let me just say this. Please listen to me. I'll tell you what, you've got to decide at some point how you're going to live your life. Many of you have, and because of that, you know what? You've experienced a lot of happiness. Are you going to take the Word of God seriously? Are you going to get into it? Are you going to listen? Are you going to seek wisdom? Are you going to pray and ask God for wisdom? Are you going to find it? Then are you going to get it? And then are you going to lay hold upon it? And then are you going to apply it and retain it in your life? The Word of God, this here is the source of wisdom for our day. This is it. This is the source of wisdom for our day. And so the people who say, I'm going to look into the Word of God and I'm going to find its precepts and principles. I'm going to see its commands and obey them. I'm going to apply the things that I learn. I'm not just going to get knowledge. I'm not just going to seek understanding. I'm going to try to do the application of those things, and I want to live wisely in my daily life. You see, if you do that and you use wisdom, you learn wisdom, and then you use wisdom in life, It causes you to avoid so many heartaches in life. Okay? A life spent making foolish decisions pretty soon builds up and accumulates and affects your life's happiness. It just does. I was on the phone with somebody, and nobody would know who it was, somebody that had strayed away from the Lord for some time in their life, and thank God they've been calling, and thank God, I think maybe, you know, I'm hoping that they may be heading back towards the Lord, but it has been not years, it's been decades, and because of their rejection of wisdom taught to them in their youth and their insistence to go out and live in foolishness, you know what? The person I'm dealing with and trying to help is an unhappy person. Now, what I'm trying to do is convince some of you young people, you know, you've got to make your own choice. You're going to get to an age where you're going to live your own life. And you know what? God made it that way, and it should be. You ought to have the right to choose. And you're going to have that right at some point. And I wouldn't stand in the way of that. Neither should anybody else. But you know what? You can choose what you want to choose. But you don't get to choose the consequences of your choices. Those consequences are built in. No matter how cool or no matter how whatever it may seem in your youth to choose the path of foolishness, there's a lot of unhappiness along that path. And when you see a Christian just say, I want to find out what God says. I want to seek out wisdom. I want to learn the precepts of God. You know, I was just, can I just read down through again? Can we go back to verse 1? Now, you know, this is the way a wise person reads the Bible. My son, forget not my law. I don't want to forget the law of God. God, help me not to forget the law. Help me to go back and reread it. Help me to learn from it. Let thine heart keep my commandments. God, I don't want to just keep the commandments with my hands. I want to keep it with my heart. I want to keep it. Length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. What a benefit. What a promise. Now, here already, we're just two verses in. But God doesn't ever just give us encouragement and commands without attaching blessings. And so the wise person will say, you know what? I'm not going to forget the law of God. I'm going to let my heart keep the commandments of God. You know why? Because God's promised me length of days and long life and peace. That's going to be added to me. Why wouldn't I want that? And I don't know where we get this in our hearts, where somehow the Bible's against us, or the Bible and its commandments is something to be avoided, or the Word of God is preached and we bristle at it as if, oh my goodness, if I have to obey the Bible, it's going to ruin my life. I think somebody's whispering in your ear, but it's not the Holy Spirit of God. You know, trust in the Lord, verse 5, with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy path. Hey, don't be a know-it-all, verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Some of you young people, I love you to death. But you know what? You think you're all so smart that all you're your own worst enemy. You're your own worst enemy because you've never humbled yourself. You've never humbled yourself. Honestly, I mean, you wouldn't say it, although I think there's a few of you that would. But you really think you're smarter than anybody else on this planet. And until you realize you're not, you're going to be in for a whole bushel basket full of problems and heartaches. Because there's a whole lot of people wiser than you, and this book's wiser than you. And it takes humility to stop being wise in your own eyes, to trust the Lord, to fear God, to depart from evil. And guess what happened? Verse 8, be health to thy navel, marrow to thy bones. Verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance, with all the first fruits of thine increase. Got Christians been saved 10, 15, 20 years, still haven't figured out this tithing thing. Still wrestling with God over it. Do it for a while and then don't do it for a while. Do it for a while, don't do it for a while. Some of you just throwing your hands up, don't do it at all. And you're robbing God, but you're robbing yourself. Look at this. Look, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses burst out with new wine. Now, listen, here's the thing. Just in those handful of verses, here you've got a choice. Wisdom obeys. Wisdom says, I want to learn. Wisdom says, I'm going to do what God said. And then because of that, blessings come and happiness come. Foolishness says, well, I'm not doing that. Well, I don't think it means that. Well, I think it means this. And I'm not going to do this. And guess what? Go ahead, because God made you with a free will. But you're going to find out that years and years of disobedience, all of that stuff builds up and the consequences begin to build up. And everybody that knew everything and everybody that knew better than God, pretty soon you find them. Here it is. The phone's ringing and it's been decades and now their life is in turmoil and they're so unhappy. And, you know, it doesn't take very many years to really, really, really make some decisions that just you never on this earth quite recover from. I'm just trying to give you some wisdom. You don't have to go out of the God's will for 2 decades to get messed up. You can go out, listen, you could go out for 2 days and do some things you never recover from. Not all the way. Now, God can forgive, God can restore, and God can be, but I mean the earthly consequences could follow you for the rest. Unhappiness, so much unhappiness. So wisdom brings happiness. Dig into the Word of God. Let me take you, since you're right there, to chapter 2. Here's the mentality. Here's somebody that searches. I love reading these first handful of verses. My son, now just think about it, if you will. Come on, energize Engage your mind. Look at the scripture verse. My son, if thou wilt. Boy, it's a choice. God's not going to make us. If thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Preacher, how do I get wisdom? This wisdom that's going to make me happy. You have to decide, I'm going to go after it. I'm going to search into the scriptures. I'm going to search the Bible. I'm going to start setting up and paying attention and stop daydreaming during Sunday school class and during church. And I'm going to listen, and what I learn from the scriptures, if what that man's saying, I look down and it says the same thing in this book, then I'm going to take that and I'm going to put it into my life and I'm going to obey it and I'm going to start living it. And I'm going to tell you something. Happy, happy, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. I wish I could spend the whole night just on wisdom. Number two, mercy. Look at Proverbs chapter 14, if you will. King Solomon's seven secrets to happiness. Wisdom, number one, brings happiness. Number two, mercy brings happiness. I won't spend a lot of time on this. Proverbs 14, verse 21. What a beautiful verse. I think I'd get a pen ready. I think I might underline something here. Proverbs 14, verse 21, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth. Word there doesn't mean to hate him. It means, you know this, I've taught this. It means to undervalue him, act as if he's not important, act as if his life is not important. But he that hath mercy on the poor, watch this, happy is he. Now, mercy brings happiness. I think a lot of times when we see the word poor, because we're in a very materialistic culture here, we immediately think, well, poor people are people that don't have materialistic resources or finances. But you know what? People can be poor in a lot of ways. Sometimes they're just poor in spirit. And you know what? Somebody needs to have some mercy on them. Sometimes they're poor financially, and somebody needs to have a little mercy on them. Sometimes, you know what? They're just spiritually poor. They haven't grown much. They don't have much. Somebody needs to have a little mercy on them. Are you thinking about this? The poor in spirit. And so, how do you get happy, preacher? I'm telling you what. I've been pursuing this thing of happiness, and I've been chasing it, and I've been pursuing it, and I've been chasing it. And every time I think I'm closing the gap, it speeds ahead, and I just can't seem to catch happiness. How do I catch happiness? Stop chasing it. Stop pursuing it. Stop trying to be happy. Watch it. I'm going to give you something right here. I'm going to tell you something. This is worth that dollar you just put in the offering plate a minute ago, all right? So listen, all right? Stop pursuing happiness and start trying to make other people happy. Okay, you'll never catch happiness for you, but you can catch it for somebody else. And then you know what? Every time you do, a little bit of it's going to spill over on you. So look around for people that are needy. That's the word poor there means. Look it up. It just means needy. Look around for people that are needy. There's all kinds of needs. It isn't always money. It isn't always food. It isn't always, hey, I need help with my utility bill. There's a lot of people that are needy. They just have needs. We're going to go through the holiday season, and it's always a wonderful time. But I say this. I think I say this every time we just get ready to turn the clock and go into December. Let's not all be reminded that for the holidays, it's for a lot of people. Yes, sweet, but kind of bittersweet. And holidays are tough for a lot of folks. They just are. They're difficult. I won't ask raise of hands here, but isn't it interesting how many times a tragedy or a loss of family or something like that coincides with some holiday time? And I doubt if there's a family here that hasn't been touched by that. And, do you rejoice? Yes, I rejoice. It's Christmas time. But then along with that comes some heartache and some hurt and maybe missing a loved one and maybe some regrets. And not everybody. Listen, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying let's just pay attention. Let's just watch. The unhappiest people in the world are the ones that are focused on them. I'm telling you, it's true. The people that are most unhappy in the world are the ones that are focused on them. The happiest people in the world seldom think of themselves. They're just looking for a chance to spill a little mercy on somebody here. Well, yeah, I know, but they put themselves in that situation. Well, the Bible says mercy. You know what mercy is, don't you? Mercy doesn't mean you earned it. Mercy just, aren't you glad for God's mercy? Okay, mercy is you know, the sister companion to grace. And the grace is giving us what we don't deserve, giving us things we don't deserve. Mercy is not giving us some things we do deserve. So what if they've made some mistakes? So what if they kind of earned it? Can't you throw a little mercy their way? And you just look for an opportunity. I really think this. I think if you're the whole, if you'll say to the Holy Spirit of God, you know what? I came here tonight for point number two. And Lord, I want you to help me through the holiday season just to have my radar on and just be sensitive, spirit sensitive, and look around and watch. And Lord, just bring somebody by my path or a couple, three somebodies over the next month that, and just make me aware. Help me to stop thinking about me. You want to have a Merry Christmas? Then don't make it about you. Make it about other people. I want to go on there. Number three, here we go. Trust brings happiness. Proverbs 16:20. All of these are a sermon. I'm trying to get seven of them in. And man alive, what am I doing here? Trust brings happiness. Jot these things down, meditate on them. The Holy Spirit will fill in the gaps for you. Proverbs 16:20. He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good. But whoso trusteth in the Lord, look at that, happy is he. He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good. Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. We read in Proverbs chapter 3 just a minute ago, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, look up here. Let me tell you a real rock solid. This is a pastoral experience thing. I can tell you this. Listen to me. This one I get. This one I understand. A lot of unhappiness comes from bitterness. I want to just tell you something straight out, and I want you to let it sink in your heart, okay? There's a lot of things that are going to happen on this earth that you're never going to get an explanation from, and you're never going to understand. Okay? By the time your life's done and my life's done, trust me, folks, there's enough heartache to go around for everybody. There's enough heartache to go around for everybody. And I promise you, in everybody's life, there's going to be a handful of things that you're going to go to your grave still scratching your head saying, I just don't see it, Lord. I just don't know why. I just don't get it. You know, one of the things I talked to, me and my wife talked to Jessica about, and the hardest thing in the world is to keep making those visits. Somebody just don't seem to be getting better. And you reach a frustration point, you know, and it's not a physical thing after a while. It becomes an emotional thing, becomes a mental thing, becomes a spiritual thing. I mean, you know, you just, all you want to do is just get better and go home. And you can't help but start asking why questions. Why, Lord? What's going on? And the last time we visited there, we talked about trusting in the Lord. And, you know, I told her, I said, you know, sometimes you go through something and you don't understand why. And then you look back later and you say, you know what? That's why I had to go through that. But I'm going to tell you, come on. Am I the only one? I've gone through things and it's been decades ago. And I still look back and say, Lord, I still don't get that. I don't get that. And you know what? At some point, you know what you've got to do? You got two choices. Here it is. Get mad and bitter about it. Or you just got to, at some point, just say, you know what, God, you're a good God. And I'm just going to trust you. I don't have to understand, Lord. You don't owe me an explanation for anything you do. I'm going to trust you. I'm just going to trust you. If you show me the why, I'm going to trust you. If you don't show me the why, I'm going to trust you. If I see some miraculous good come out of it, I'm going to trust you. And if I don't ever on this earth know why you did it and don't get to see any of the results of why you did it, I'm just going to trust you. And one of these days when I get to heaven, you'll have a full explanation for everything that happened. What a good way to live your life. I'm just going to trust God. I'm just going to trust him. I don't always understand what he does. I don't understand his ways. His ways are so far above our ways. His thoughts so far above our thoughts. How can I understand what he's trying to do? I don't always get it. But I'm going to trust him, and I'm going to walk with him. I'm going to let him direct my path. Number four, the fear of the Lord brings happiness. Go to the 28th chapter of Proverbs. The 28th chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs 28, verse number 14. Proverbs 28, 14. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. All fear the Lord, young people. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fear the Lord's beginning of wisdom. And you can't get anywhere. You can't get to point number one without learning to fear God. And you learn to fear the Lord. And you know what? Happiness comes as a result of it. Why is that? Because of what it keeps you from? The Bible says, he that feareth the Lord departs from evil. And you know what? There may be opportunities in your life where you can do wrong. But if you fear God, you'll choose not to do wrong. Because of that, you're going to save yourself the consequences that come with that. Just learn to fear the Lord. I want to serve the Lord because I love him. That's what I mean. That's what I want to do. I think that's the ultimate goal. I think that's the highest motive. I think that's the purest motive. I want to serve the Lord because I love him. But let me just say this. In those times in my life where my love is not what it ought to be and my love wanes a bit, I want to have the foundation always that I fear God. Because even if my love isn't what it ought to be for that moment, I still want to fear him enough. I want to fear him enough to do what's right. I love my daddy. And most of the time I obeyed my dad because I loved my dad. But there were some times that I obeyed my dad because I was scared of my dad. And you know what? That ain't all bad. That ain't all bad. I think God is pretty good about chastising his children. And if I break his rules, he's well capable. Somebody want to help me here with a little bit of an amen here? He's well capable of lowering the boom. He knows how to spank his kids, and he knows how to line you out, and he knows what it takes to get your attention. And I do fear God, and I want to fear God. And you know what? That's not a bad thing. The Bible says, happy is the man that feareth always. He that hardeneth his heart, he's the one that's going to fall into mischief. All right, chapter 29, we're working our way through. Proverbs 29, verse number 6. Righteousness brings happiness. Righteousness brings happiness. Proverbs 29, 6. In the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare. But the righteous, I like this, doth sing and rejoice. Well, sounds like he's pretty happy. And so you've got a choice here. If you want to follow the path of an evil man and choose the ways of the transgressor, there's a snare that awaits you. But if you choose to do right, choose the path of righteousness, you know what? There's going to be a song in your heart, rejoicing in your heart. Now, young people, one of the things that I heard a lot of preachers say when I was young, and it helped me a lot, so I'm going to say it to you, is this. The doing of right is its own reward. The doing of right is its own reward. And in the moment, especially if you're in a situation where it seems like everybody around you at that moment is choosing to do wrong, and you choose to do right, the right thing, and maybe you're belittled, or maybe people make fun of you, or maybe they put you down for it or whatever. Maybe in that moment it may not seem like it pays off, but here's the thing that you got to remember. When you choose to do right, you walk away from that situation with a reward that's in your heart. Because see, they have to lay their head on their pillow that night knowing that they did wrong. And you get to lay your head on your pillow at night saying, you know what, it wasn't easy. But you know what? God, thank you for helping me do the right thing. And the doing of right is its own reward. You know what? Guilt comes from transgression. Guilt comes from sin. But you know what? There's peace and happiness that comes as a result of choosing right. The older you get, the more opportunities that you're going to have. The more unsupervised you're going to be. A lot of times I'll say this. When I'm preaching out teen camps or I'm preaching to our own young people, I'll say, watch it right here, watch it right here. That little thing right there has caused more young people to backslide than almost anything else in the world. And it's not that it's wrong, and it's not that it's evil that you get a driver's license, although it's very disturbing. Why would they make our Indiana driver's license, commercial driver's license, pink? I'm telling you, I'm just a little tired of this. Could I get in trouble if I painted that? Or is there any way I can correct that thing? I'm walking around with a pink driver's license in my wallet. Something wrong with that. Just lost my happiness there for a minute. But you know what? As you get older, you're going to have increased opportunity. You're going to have more freedom. It's the way it is. You're going to have more opportunities where it's not mom saying no, no, or dad, no. Guess what? You're going to have to make that decision. You're going to have to make that decision. And so choose to do right. Why? Because doing of right has a built-in reward. Preacher, in this situation, nobody will know if I do right or wrong. Oh, come on now. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good thereof. God's taking notes. God's watching. God's learning how much he can trust you and what he might be able to trust you with. Are you listening? Are you thinking about this? And so do right. Young man, listen to me. Do you seek for opportunities to transgress? Do you seek for opportunities to transgress? Or do you pray, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil? You ought not to court temptation. Don't court it. Okay, there's no proof of spiritual strength to seek out a temptation and walk up and then see if you can walk away from it. The Bible says, pray this, lead me not into temptation. The Bible says that the wise man foreseeth the evil and passeth by. And so what you want to do is you want to avoid every temptation you can possibly avoid, but I promise you this, the devil's pretty good at what he does, and sooner or later, you're going to be faced with a choice. You're going to be faced with a choice. And people, young adults, that consistently, not perfect, nobody's perfect, but consistently say, you know what, I'm going to discipline myself, and I'm going to, with God's help, I'm going to choose to do right. You know, it may not seem short term like there's a lot of reward to that, but I promise you, just catch up with them a couple decades down the road, and the happiness is there, because right decisions led them on a right path, and led them to some good things. And so, righteousness brings happiness. Two more. Here we go. Good companions bring happiness. Good companions. Let me have you look at two different verses. Proverbs 27:9. 27:9. I think a great source of happiness is just learning to be wise enough to hang around and listen to the right kind of people in your life. Proverbs 27, verse 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. And so as ointment and perfume will rejoice your heart, you know what? Many times. Good hearty counsel by a friend. Just somebody saying the right thing at the right time, just giving you a little encouragement. That kind of a person will cause your heart to rejoice. Now go over to Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 25. Proverbs 12, verse number 25. We read in Proverbs 27:9, ointment and perfume rejoices the heart, so that the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Then in Proverbs 12:25, heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. And so we have rejoicing, we have gladness. Why? Because you listen to hearty counsel. Why? Because you listen to a good word. Now, there's two ways I'd look at that. Number one, I want to be the kind of a person that helps other people to be happy. I want to be a source of hearty counsel. I want to be the person that gives the good word. Okay, seek out that opportunity. But also, then, I want to hang around people, and I want to be influenced by people that do that. These are the kind of people I want to give an ear to, a listen to. And so, who's got your ear? Who's got your ear? Who have you given influence in your life? Are they giving you hearty counsel? Are they giving you good, godly, spiritual, scriptural counsel? Are they a source of that? Do they say a good word at the right time? Do they say the right thing at the right time? Are they an encouragement? Surround yourself with those kinds of people, and I'll tell you this, it'll bring happiness into your life. Now I'm going to bring you the last one. We've got a few minutes. Man alive, I'm doing great on this. But I want you children to listen to me, and you young people. I think the children are mostly out, but you young men, young ladies, I want you to listen to me, because this last one is, you know, wisdom brings happiness, mercy brings happiness, trust brings happiness, fear of the Lord brings happiness, righteousness brings happiness, good companions bring happiness. But I want to share something with you, and I want to have you look at several portions of Scripture here. But Proverbs chapter 23, let's go there. More than any other thing that the book of Proverbs, as far as if you were to say, of all the things listed, give me the one where we have the most, the biggest, the largest quantity of Scripture. In this matter of happiness, preacher, what would that be? Proverbs 23, verse 15. Are you there? Proverbs 23, verse 15. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Here's a parent writing to their boy. Here's a daddy writing to his boy. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Look at verse 24, same chapter. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begatteth a wise child shall have joy of him. How about verse 25, Proverbs 23:25? Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Go, if you will, back to Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 1. Proverbs 10, verse number 1. Proverbs of Solomon. Proverbs 10:1, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. If you want to flip ahead a couple chapters, chapter 15, verse 20, let's read all the scripture and then we'll wrap it up and let you take it home. Proverbs 15:20, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth, undervalues his mother. Proverbs 27, let's go there, Proverbs 27, verse number 11. My son, Proverbs 27:11, my son, be wise, make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproacheth me. Proverbs 23:15, we've already read that. I'm just going to review. Stay where you're at. He said this, my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. My reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. He that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. My son, be wise, make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproacheth me. I know because Brother Jack Gordon and his wife, and my brother Jack, I know his verse, one of his favorite verses is in 3 John, and I remember him saying it over to us when we were in the youth group. But he said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And I've always said, well, if that's one side of the coin, let's flip over the other side of the coin. Without making assumptions on the Bible, I don't think we're doing it any damage. If no greater joy is to hear that my children walk in truth, then maybe there's no greater heartache than to have children that walk away from God. And listen to me. You know what? I can seek wisdom and it can bring me happiness. And I can show mercy and it'll bring me happiness. And I can trust the Lord and it'll bring me happiness. I can fear God and it'll bring me happiness. And I can seek to do right and it'll bring me happiness. And I can seek good companions and that'll bring me happiness. But you know what? One thing that a parent can't control is the decisions of their children. Now you should rear them right, rear them in the admonition and nurture of the Lord. You should seek to lead them in the paths of righteousness, and you should raise them to love the Lord. But you know what? Every young person has a free will. Children, young people, please hear me out. Listen to me. You have no idea. I don't think, maybe you just can't comprehend yet. I'm not belittling you, but I just don't know if you can really understand that you hold within your hand the heart of your parents. And as much as they do these other things to seek happiness and to be happy, it's the subject that Proverbs brings the most verses to when it comes to this matter of happiness is this. You know what? A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. And so, listen to me. Make your parents happy. Make your parents happy. Give them gladness. Give them joy. Cause them a reason to rejoice when they watch your life and see your life. And you know what? God will bless you for it. And by the way, never forget this. You reap what you sow in life. Y'all, that's unimportant to me. I don't care. I'll just do whatever. One of these days, you're going to be the daddy and you're going to be the mommy. You best listen to what I have to say. You say, Brother Jerry, do you think Brother Solomon had it right here? Well, let me just give you this. The people that I've met that just seem to be very unhappy, and I'm talking about on in life, they're unhappy. It seems like unhappiness has snowballed upon them. If somebody comes to me and they just lack happiness, here's the questions I'd like to ask them. Do you pursue and have you in your life pursued after and found and retained wisdom? Have you extended mercy upon the poor? Have you looked for others, and let that be the theme of your life? Or has it been you? Do you trust in the Lord with all your heart? Or are you the kind of person that can't trust God? You got to go out and make it happen yourself. When given a choice, do you choose to do right or choose to transgress? What's been the pattern of your life? Do you walk with those who offer hearty counsel and a good word? Or have you sought out and allowed people to have influence in your life? I mean, sought them out. You want to hang with the crowd that wants to scoff at the Bible and wants to scoff at the ways of the Lord? Are you a blessing to your parents or are you a heartache to your parents? You see, people that end up happy, if you'll take a look at their past, have spent their life rejecting wisdom. They've spent a lot of time embracing foolishness. They've mistreated others instead of extending mercy. They've had to do things their way instead of trusting the Lord. They didn't fear the Lord enough to depart from evil. They sought opportunities to do wrong, passed up opportunities to do right, sought out the company of fools, for unusually have broken their parents' heart. And you know what? They're not real happy people. Everybody in this room has a choice to make. You can go into the book of Proverbs and it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding. You know what? I'm going to trust the Bible. I'm going to study the Bible. I'm going to obey the Bible. And you know what? Whether I feel like it or not, whether I understand it or not, I'm going to trust the Lord. And you live that type of a life. You live for others instead of yourself. You let the fear of the Lord protect you. And when you face temptation, choose right and hang around the right crowd. And you know what? Make sure you keep your parents, listen to your parents, and don't break their heart. You know what? I think you got in front of you a pretty good life waiting for you. The happy man, King Solomon's seven secrets to happiness. Heavenly Father, thank you for this quick study. We didn't do justice to any of these points. Too many, too much, too deep. But we've given your people enough to meditate upon, to think upon. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us to, Lord, listen to the sweet Holy Spirit of God. May we always seek the paths of righteousness. May we fall in love with the Bible. Lord, may we seek to live out its precepts and principles. May we trust you, God. Help us to look for opportunities in this weeks ahead, because there is a lot of sadness and there's a lot of brokenness and really a lot of misery in this life. And Lord, help us to be looking for opportunities to show some mercy and help and be a blessing. Use the Word of God tonight in our lives. May we examine our friends. May we examine our spirit. May we examine our choices. May every young person examine the relationship that they have with their parents. Lord, help them decide they're going to make their parents pleased and happy with the decisions that they make and the life that they live. Lord, please, we pray in Jesus' name.